ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
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 हरे कृष्ण। We completed the first 13 chapters of Bhagavad Gita. In the first 6 chapters, Krishna described predominantly Karma Yoga, the art of doing work, and thus by work connecting with the Supreme. And in the middle 6 chapters, 7 to 12, Krishna described Bhakti Yoga, that is working with devotion. And in the last 6 chapters, Krishna elaborates on Jnana Yoga developing analytical knowledge and thus ultimately coming to the conclusion of Bhakti. In the 13th chapter, Krishna analyzed the characteristics of Prakriti, Purusha, Kshetra, Kshetragna and Jnanam and Jnayam. Basically, all these 6 topics which Arjuna requested Krishna to elaborate on are centered on 3 things only: the living entity, the Supreme Lord, and the material nature. Fine. So he analyzed the characteristics of the living entity, the Supreme Lord, and the material nature, and he also analyzed the entanglement of the jiva in the prakriti under the superintendence of the Supreme Lord. So we discussed it elaborately in the 13th chapter. In the 22nd shloka of 13th chapter, Krishna spoke that Purushaha prakritisthohi bhumte prakritijan gunan karanam gunasangosya sat asat yoni janmasu. Karanam gunasangosya, the entanglement of a conditioned soul in this material world, and the transmigration of the conditioned soul from one species to another species, one body to another body in this material world, is all because of guna sangha, the association of material modes. So in this chapter, Krishna describes how the association of material modes will affect the living entity. The modes are 3: sattva guna, the mode of goodness; rajoguna, mode of passion; and tamoguna, mode of ignorance. So how these 3 material modes or gunas will affect a living entity, and how can the living entity come out of the entanglement of these material modes by practicing Bhakti Yoga, Krishna will describe in this 14th chapter. That is the subject matter of 14th chapter. So we understood the context of this chapter. You understood the connection between the previous chapter and this chapter. Now we will begin with the first shloka of this chapter. 14.1. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha.
Shri Bhagavan Uvacha.
Param Bhuyaha Pravakshyami.
Param Bhuyaha Pravakshyami.
Jnana Nam Jnana Muttamam.
Jnana Nam Jnana Muttamam.
Yajnatva Munayah Sarve.
Yajnatva Munayah Sarve.
Param Siddhim Ito Gataha.
Param Siddhim Ito Gataha.
Param Bhuyaha Pravakshyami. Jnana Nam Jnana Muttamam. Oh Arjuna, today I am going to describe the most sublime and exalted knowledge. Param Bhuyaha Pravakshyami. Jnananam Jnanamuttamam. This is the best of all knowledge. Oftentimes Krishna says this. This is the best of knowledge. This is the best of knowledge. Yeah, basically, the best knowledge is knowledge about Bhakti Yoga. And whatever facilitates for our practice of Bhakti Yoga is also best knowledge. Okay. So, Yad Gnatva Munayaha Sarve. By understanding this knowledge, all the great sages, Param Siddhimito Gataha, they attained the supreme perfection. So that is basically the knowledge of the material modes and how to come out of the entanglement of material modes. So we need to understand how the material modes work. We need to understand how the material modes bind the conditioned soul with various qualities. And when the sattva-guna binds a living entity, how does he behave? When rajo-guna binds a living entity, what qualities does he manifest? When tamo-guna binds a living entity, what are the results? So all that Krishna will analyze in detail in this chapter. And finally, towards the end of the chapter, Krishna will reveal how to come out of this entanglement of material modes. Fine. So that's the subject matter of this small chapter. Second shloka. Idam jnanam upashritya.
Idam jnanam upashritya.
Mama sadharmyam agataha.
Mama sadharmyam agataha.
Sarge pino pajayante.
Sarge pino pajayante.
Pralaye navyathanti cha.
Pralaye navyathanti cha.
Idam jnanam upashritya. By taking shelter of this knowledge that Krishna is going to describe in this chapter. Mama sadharmyam agataha. First result. One can attain the same nature or form as Krishna. Mama sadharmyam. You can attain a nature similar to me, similar to mine. Next line. Sargyapi nopajayante pralaye navyathanticha. One is freed from the repeated cycle of birth and death. And one will not take birth in this material creation again. Sargyapi na upajayante. Sarga is this material creation. Now, upajayante, you don't have to take birth again in this world. So, by understanding the spiritual subject matters and trying to internalize this knowledge and apply that knowledge in one's life, one can be liberated from this material existence. So, an aspect of spiritual life is to understand our own situation, our own position, our own entanglement in this material realm. First, we need to understand how we are suffering here and develop detachment from this material world which is full of suffering. The so-called happiness available in this world is also suffering only. So, we need to understand that by reading all this and by careful observation of this whatever is happening around us. Then slowly develop an inspiration to go back to the spiritual world and take up to the necessary practices that enable us to transcend this material world and enter the spiritual world. That's the basic outline, basic purpose for which this entire Gita is spoken. So one need not experience the pain of death at the universal dissolution. One need not experience the pain of birth in the beginning of universal creation. So birth and death are there. So the living entity comes into being when the universal creation takes place. Means their super soul. The soul is eternal. So there is never a time where the living entity comes into being as such. But the living entity comes into a specific existence in a specific material species, in a specific material planet in the beginning of universal creation to fulfill the previous unfulfilled desires. And according to what the living entity does in this new setup, his next lives are dependent. So, between the time of universal creation till the time of universal annihilation, destruction, in between, the living entity undergoes so many changes, so many transformations in different species, in different planets, in different forms to fulfill different desires. But if he develops a desire to perform bhakti and then he perfects his life within one human life only, if he performs bhakti. So he need not even see the end of the universal destruction. He can go back to Godhead in the middle of this time period only. So for that we need to develop knowledge of Bhagavad Gita and apply that knowledge. That's why Krishna says, Sargyapi na upajayanti. If you understand this knowledge and apply this knowledge, then you need not take birth in the beginning of universal creation, pralaye navyathanticha. At the time of universal destruction, you don't have to die. No birth, no death. Simple. You will come out of this birth and death cycle by understanding this knowledge. Prabhupada writes in the purport, after acquiring perfect transcendental knowledge, One acquires qualitative equality with the Lord, becoming free from the repetition of birth and death. One does not, however, lose his identity as an individual soul. It is understood from the Vedic literature that the liberated souls who have reached the transcendental planets of the spiritual sky always took to the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. Even after liberation also, devotees maintain their individual identities in their service to Krishna. Next, third sloka. In the third sloka and fourth sloka also, Krishna describes how the jiva comes in contact with matter in the first place. In the first two shlokas, Krishna just glorified the knowledge that he is going to speak in this chapter. In the next two shlokas, Krishna will just describe how the jiva comes in contact with this prakriti, material nature. Then, in the next four shlokas, Krishna describes how the material modes in this material world bind the jivas. Let's discuss the third chapter, third shloka. Mama yonir mahat brahma.
Mama yonir mahat brahma.
Tasmin garbham dadamyaham.
Tasmin garbham dadamyaham.
Sambhavah sarva bhutanam.
Sambhavah sarva bhutanam.
Tato bhavati bharata.
Tato bhavati bharata.
Mama yonir mahat brahma. Tasmin garbham dadami aham. The Lord says, mahat brahma is this mahat tattva. This prakriti or the material nature initially takes the form of mahat tattva. Then it transforms into ahankara, which in three modes gives rise to 23 elements, and all these 23 elements will combine together and form the material universe. We discussed this whole process of creation in some other classes. So basically here mahat brahma indicates prakriti or mahat tattva. So Krishna says, mama yonir mahat brahma, into the womb of this mahatattva, tasmin garbham. Garbham is the womb. Tasmin garbham dadami aham. So dadami aham. So the Lord impregnates this material nature. The Supreme Lord impregnates this prakriti with the living entities. Okay. So then, sambhavaha sarva bhutanam tato bhavati bharata. That's how the birth of living entities in this material nature is made possible. How does the spiritual jiva come in contact with material prakriti? Answer is this shloka. Krishna says that the spiritual jiva is injected by me into the womb of the material nature. Thus the jiva comes in contact with prakriti. Is it clear? Understandable? You can understand? So prakriti is called mahat because it extends through all place and time continuously. It is called Brahma because it is the cause of expansion. Okay, so sometimes Brahman word is used to refer to even the material nature also. Next, Prabhupada writes. He gives a nice analogy in the second paragraph of this purport. He says, the scorpion lays its eggs in piles of rice, and sometimes it is said that the scorpion is born out of rice. But the rice is not the cause of scorpion. Actually, the eggs were laid by the mother. Similarly, the material nature is not the cause of birth and death of living entities. The seed is given by the Supreme Lord. Krishna says, Aham bija pradah pitaha. I am the seed giving father. And prakriti is the mother, and the father injects the living entities into the womb of the mother, as Krishna says here. Mama yonir mahat brahma, mama me. Krishna says, I do this, I am your father. So many times clearly Krishna says, I have injected all these living entities in the womb of material nature. Okay. Thus every living entity according to his past activities has a different body created by the material nature, so that the entity can enjoy or suffer according to his past deeds. The Lord is the cause of all manifestations of the living entities in the material world, ultimately. Fourth shloka.
The third thing to know is karmana daivanatrana. Because of his desire or karma, Krishna,
Karmana daivanatrana. Chintur deho papate.
Karma is also there.
So, now you see, karma is the cause. then samaya. Kala is the cause, okay. Svabhava is also the cause. Prakriti is also the cause. Ishvara is also the cause. So all these are causes. Ultimately, cause of all causes is Krishna. Second level, ultimately the cause, second ultimate, is Prakriti. Yeah, without the Lord's sanction, Prakriti will not do anything. So the top cause is, the topmost cause is Krishna, ultimately. But within the material realm, it is Prakriti that operates. Okay. But ultimately, why the Prakriti is behaving in this way, why the Supreme Lord is sanctioning like this? Because the living entity is desiring. Okay. When Kala is acting as a representative of the Lord. So the Lord is only acting. When Svabhava is acting, Svabhava is just a product of all the material impressions. Okay. That belongs to the Jiva only. Karma is acting, means karma belongs to whom? The Jiva. When we say Jiva is the cause, we are also indicating that his Svabhava is the cause and the Jiva's karma is also the cause. Svabhava and karma are included in Jiva. Kala is included in the Lord and Prakriti is there. So the cause of the Jiva's entanglement is all these multiple reasons. But ultimately, the main responsibility lies on the Jiva. Unless the Jiva desires to enjoy separately from the Lord, the Lord need not sanction the desire and the Prakriti need not facilitate the desire. So it is the Jiva who misuses his minute independence to enjoy separately from the Lord and get entangled in this material realm. Okay? Because the Jiva is so adamant, the Lord sanctions. Because the Lord sanctions, the Prakriti facilitates. But without the Lord's sanction and without the Prakriti's facilitation, the Jiva cannot exercise his independent desires also. We discussed all this in the 5th and 3rd chapters. Okay. So thus all three are the causes. But it all began with the Jiva's independent desire. So why the jail has to exist? Because criminals are existing. Why criminals have to exist? Because they have independence to act according to their own mentality. And who gave them independence? The Lord has given independence. So Lord is the cause. So like that all causes are there. So anyways, come back to this 4th sloka. Sarvayonishu Kaunteya.
Sarvayonishu Kaunteya.
Murtayah Sambhavantiyah.
Murtayah Sambhavantiyah.
Tasam Brahma Mahadyoner.
Tasam Brahma Mahadyoner.
Aham Bijapradahpita.
Aham Bijapradahpita.
Sarvayonishu Kaunteya. Here Krishna is very emphatically saying, Sarvayonishu, of all the species of life, O Kaunteya, O son of Kunti, Murtayah Sambhavantiyah. Krishna says, they are made possible to take birth. Okay? Means, different living entities are taking birth in different species. Tasam Brahma Mahadyonir. And how is this birth in different species happening? Through the Prakriti. Brahma Mahadyonir. Okay? In the material nature, which is like mother. And Aham Bija Pradah Pitaha. I am the seed-giving father. So all the living entities in different species are born of material nature. Thus the material nature is the mother. And I, means Krishna, is the seed-giving father. Krishna gives the seed, mother gives the birth. Okay, and different species will take birth. Is it clear? So seed-giving father means the Lord injects the living entities into the womb of material nature and the material nature creates their bodies. Material nature is the mother because the body is created by material nature. The Lord is the father because the soul is injected into that body. Okay, so like that, Krishna is the father, Prakriti is the mother of all the jivas. Okay, this is also a very important shloka. Sarva yonishu kaunteya murtayah sambhavantiyah tasam brahma mahadyonir aham bija pradah pita. So this verse, in this verse, it is clearly explained that the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna is the original father of all living entities. Whether they are animals or human beings or devatas or men or women, Indians or Americans, the mother is material nature, the father is Krishna. Very clear. The living entities are combinations of material nature and the spiritual nature. Such living entities are seen not only on the planet, but on every planet. Even on the highest where Brahma is there. Fifth shloka. So, in the first two shlokas, we have seen how Krishna glorified the pure knowledge that he is going to give. In the third and fourth shlokas, Krishna described how the jiva came in contact with Prakriti in the first place. So, that completed first four shlokas. In the fifth shloka, you see, how the material nature binds the living entity. The living entity is pure, the spirit source. So, from fifth shloka till ninth shloka, Krishna describes the entanglement or bondage of the jivas within this material world. So, some devotees are coming, it seems. We'll take a short break now, then we'll resume. Okay.